That's where we're going to start. Amen. Hallelujah. Preaching on the church, about the church. I want to say this, I love the church. I said this last week. I got married at church. I got saved at the church. Dedications to the babies were in the church. All these things that happened, it happened in the church. And in a church house, put it that way. But I realized when the Bible talks about the church, it talks about the local church, and then it talks about the body of Christ, which is the church. And some people get kind of confused about that. And I've said this last week that a lot of people think if you're not in their church, you're going to go to hell. That's not true. The Mormons say if you're not in our religion, you're not going to heaven. The Jehovah's Witnesses say if you're not in our religion, you're going to the grave and you're not going to be in the millennium. And you're not going to raise up in the resurrection. And then you got the Catholic Church that teaches that if you're not a Catholic, you're going to hell anyhow. And so all these different religions, Islam, they believe they're the right way, or they're it. That's why they'll do it by force. They'll kill people that they don't convert. And there was a church in the Old Testament. It was called the Church in the Wilderness. And that church in the wilderness, Moses was the leader. And the church means congregation or assembly. But when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he shed his blood, he paid a price for the church. He paid a price. And the church is an organization. It's an organization that Jesus Christ set up. And people fight against the church. They'll fight. They'll say, well, I don't need to go to church. I don't need to live for God. I don't need to be in no local church. I believe you ought to be a member of a local church, a Bible-believing local church. I believe you ought to be faithful as a member of a Bible-believing local church. And a lot of churches, that they call themselves church, but I wouldn't call them a church at all. They're just what it is just a gathering. It's a gathering. And so in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, it says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock. There's a flock in the church. There's a flock. And we're, sheep. And it says, over the which the Holy Ghost have made you overseers. And a pastor is an overseer. He's not a dictator. He's not a somebody that rules with a rod of iron. The Bible says when the Lord comes back, he's going to rule the nations with a rod of iron. But as a pastor, I'm not to rule the church with a rod of iron. And I know a lot of pastors that do that. I don't do that. We're supposed to lead the sheep. And we're supposed to not drive the sheep. Like I said last week, you cannot drive sheep. You can lead sheep. And that's why the Bible says that he shall lead us beside the still waters. Sheep are very finicky. They're very, they get spooked real quick. Skittish. They're very skittish. Sheep are. And sheep will follow a shepherd. And as a church, a local church, and you say, well, where's the local church come in at? I know we're in the body of Christ. The local church, Paul wrote to the local church. If you read 1 Corinthians, take your Bible, look at 1 Corinthians, and hold your place there in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I actually go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to be doing a lot of turning, and it says, and 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, Silvanus is our brother, he says, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that, and that in every place called upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul's writing to the church of Corinth. And the church of Corinth, and he's writing to them and trying to straighten them out. And then when you read the book of Galatians, he's writing to the church of Galatia. He's writing to the church of Ephesus. He's writing to the church of Philippi. So when you're reading those, they're letters to the church, to the local church. Now, and also, as a body of Christ, if we're saved, we're all in the church. I'm talking about those that are saved. You're part of the body. We should see that in a minute. But the church has a purpose. And Jesus Christ died for the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He died for the church. He died for the church. And that's members. They're saved people. And take your Bibles, look with me to Matthew 16. Look at Matthew 16. We'll rehash a little bit. Matthew 16. The church here, Jesus Christ tells Simon Peter, he said, I'll build the church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church is going to go on, whether there's persecution, no matter what goes on, the church is going to go on. Why? Because Jesus Christ is called the rock. He's the rock of the church. He is that rock, not Peter. And he says in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, back up verse 17, and Jesus answered, said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. He said, what are you talking about? Jesus said, who men say that I am? He said, some say you're Elias. Some say that you're John the Baptist. But Peter spoke up and he said, you're the Son of God, the Son of the living God. I mean, you're the Son of God. And Peter spoke up and said it. And Jesus said, flesh and blood have not revealed this to you. He said, but my Father which is in heaven. But look, he says, and I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, talking about himself, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So people fight against the church, and they'll go against the church. They'll say, well, I don't have to go to church to be saved. I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. That's like this. Go to church to be a Christian. It's like being a student without being in school and not going to school. It's like being a soldier who never joins the army. It's like a Christian without joining a church. It's like a citizen who doesn't pay his taxes or vote. I hope you vote. Hope you pay your taxes. Like an explorer that has no base camp. Or a seaman on a ship without a crew. So people say, well, I can be a Christian and not go to church. Well, that's crazy. Jesus Christ established the church. He set the church up for our benefit. He set the church up, and there's rules and regulations that he put in the church, not laws. I mean, there was a church in the wilderness that when Moses was up on the mountain getting Ten Commandments, that's what they had to live by, the Jews. They was getting Ten Commandments, and they come down the mountain. As they come down the mountain, and Joshua says, I hear war in the camp. And he said, no, it ain't. He said, they're dancing and singing and partying. That's what's happening in churches today. They're dancing, singing. I mean, I saw some churches, they're dancing on the platform. They're drinking in the church. Right after I got saved, I told a friend of mine, go to church with me, I'll go to church with you. I went to the Catholic church over in Washington, D.C. They had a bar in every basement. And after church, we went downstairs, and he said, hey, you want a beer? We'll get a beer. We sat in the bar, and you know, I was just saved. I'm sitting there drinking a beer. A Christian shouldn't be drinking beer. I was sitting in there drinking a beer with the priest while they're smoking cigars. You know what they said? They said, we'd rather have a bar in the basement. We can water things down. At least we can have more control of it. And then, you know, we can play bingo too and beat them out of their money. But, and all that stuff, we can do all that stuff. And he said, ain't that cool? No, it ain't. After I learned the Bible some, it ain't cool. He didn't set up the church to have bingo. He didn't set up the church. I had a guy down the road here, had a race car. I'd go down and see him. He said, hey, preacher, I can tell you how to get that church going. Just have bingo on Saturday night. We can make some money. I said, we ain't going to do that. We ain't going to have, you know, drinking in the bar and all that crazy stuff. And the church is not for that purpose. The purpose of the church is to edify the saints. We get together as a local church to edify one another. I mean, we're soldiers of Jesus Christ to go on living for God and get sin out of your life. Amen. As for preaching, like Mike was teaching us something morning in Sunday school, God chose the foolishness of preaching. People said, don't preach to me. I remember I said to my brother, when they asked me about going to church, I said, I don't want no preaching. I said, I don't want you no preaching. Bible says God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them which believe. God chose it. There's some things God set up and said, this is the way it's ought to be, and that's the way it's going to be. And what happens is, this day and time, they said, well, we'd rather be down at the bottom of the hill building a golden calf and dancing and drinking and carrying on. That's what we want to do. That's what the churches are coming into. I talked to a guy this week, and I asked him about this church, and he says, oh, yeah, man, we got church going on. They're having that the school down in Dover. They're having that school. And he said, man, you know, they got strobe light. I mean, they got all kinds of junk going on. And I said, what Bible do y'all believe? Well, any Bible do. Really? What's your doctrine? I don't know. Jesus, the Bible says disciples, in Acts chapter 4, they said they're spreading their doctrine all over the place. Doctrine is important in a church. Yeah. Knowing what you believe, why you believe what you believe. Yeah. You know what doctrine is? The death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, the gospel, but also doctrine that Jesus Christ was born a virgin. Yeah. The Pope is now saying, we don't know if Jesus Christ's mother was a virgin or not, but he was born, you know. But see, their doctrine is important for you to know. And I was questioning this guy. He's talking about he was a leader in this church. And I said, what do y'all believe? He said, well, we're kind of like the Wesleyans. I said, really? I said, tell me what that is. He didn't know. He didn't know what. If you're saved and you go to church and you read your Bible, you ought to know what you believe. Amen. I mean, it'd be stupid, like I said, a soldier saying that I'm a soldier and never join the army. You ought to know what you believe and why.
Amen.
Be terrible to be living like that. The church has a purpose. It's not to get a big crowd. It's easier to preach to a bigger crowd, as long as they're not hostile. It's easy to preach to a bigger crowd. Man, it's cool. Preach to a bigger crowd. I mean, God he has numbers in the Bible. He numbered everything. You know, but we don't number things. We don't have a chart up here to tell you how many people came this last Sunday and this Sunday and all that stuff. We don't have a chart. Why? Because it can be depressing. Yeah. If you had a big crowd one Sunday and next Sunday be down, you go, oh, man, that's terrible. We don't do that. God does. He keeps track. There's been times in this church I've thought, I'm going to count the people. I started counting and I thought, no, I can't do that. Why? It scared me. Because as soon as you start thinking, like, that's what David did. He started numbering the people. He sinned against God because he was trying to put his confidence in the number rather than in God. So the church has a purpose and the church has a mission. The church is the organization. We went to see that last week. Take your Bible, look in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians 6. The church is the organization and it should have organization in it, even though I'm the pastor. We do have organization. 1 Corinthians 6. I went to a church that had 1,500, went to 2,500. And I mean, they had every kind of program, everything else. It was a good church. But then they started not believing the King James Bible, the Word of God. I don't even know if they started out believing it. But I got saved there. I owe a lot to the church. And you know, we believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. And without error. And so you have a question. You say, well, I don't understand that. That's not God's fault. It's yours. Your fault. My fault. We need to study it more. God will show you. The answer is in the book. God gives a book for the church. This book is for the church. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look what it says. It says 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and look at verse 15. He says, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Now here we go. Talking about this is the church. Now, if you're saved, you're part of Jesus Christ, a member of his church and part of his body. He says, shall I then make the members of Christ, make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? So your body is a temple, and you're part of the member of the church of Jesus Christ. You're a part of it. And it's important that you keep your body clean, spiritually, physically. It's important. And the church is a body of members, of believers that are together. Now, we're a local church in Smyrna, Delaware, Faith Baptist Church. You say, do you believe other denominations are part of the body of Christ? If they're saved, yes, they are. I don't care if they're Church of God or whatever, Wesleyan or whatever. They can be a part of the body of Christ if they're saved. Now, the Church of Christ teaches if you're baptized in water, that puts you in the body of Christ. No, it doesn't. There's an organization called the Baptist Briders. They believe if you're not baptized by a Baptist preacher, then you're not in the body of Christ. That's a lie. See, that's why I'm saying doctrine is important, to know what you believe, why you believe it. There's all kinds of crazy stuff out there. I know when I first got saved, people started telling me this, telling me that. I thought, man, I'll never know all this stuff. Man, this is confusing. But it's not when you study your Bible. That's why we have Sunday school. You come in and learn things from Sunday school. You come in, you said you're learning doctrine. And, you know, isn't this something? I asked this guy, I said, does your church, you carry a Bible to church? No. I'm going to tell you something. When you don't carry a Bible and you don't go by that book, you can be deceived by anything. The Antichrist, when he comes, you know what Jim Jones did? Jim Jones would take the Bible away from people and throw it on the ground and say, don't you read that Bible. You listen to me. That's what the Pope does. That's what religion does. Mormonism. They said, don't read that Bible. Just listen to us. We'll give you what you need to know. That's a lie. Whenever religion starts telling you, we don't need the Bible, don't care the Bible. My kids went to school, church down in Florida, big old church. I mean, 5,000 people or something like that. And they went in this church and they said, nobody carried a Bible. And they put a few scriptures on a board up there where you can look at, but there's no, you can't look at it yourself in your own Bible. We always tell people, bring your Bible. Read your Bible. Why? People that read their Bible and that prays and seeks God, they can't be deceived when they study the Word of God on their own. Wouldn't it be crazy, Phil? Wouldn't it be crazy if Phil does heating and air conditioning. Wouldn't it be crazy if you never had a blueprint on anything and just went in and did it the way you thought it should be done? Now, you've got done it enough that you know how it should be done. But you have a blueprint. Building a house, you have a blueprint. Everything has blueprints. Directions. Most men don't read directions. We just go into it and do it. And then when we've run out of steam, then we go back. Where's them directions at? And that's the way most Christians are. They'll go into it and they'll say, then they'll mess up. And they'll say, where's that Bible at, man? So what does the Bible say about that? Get back in the Bible. But look at this. What? Know you not your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? But you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You're supposed to glorify God with your body. That's not me saying it. I want to show you something. If we're members of the body of Jesus Christ, and the Lord, look in 1 Corinthians 6 right there, the same spot. Look what it says. Look what it says in verse 1. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to the law before the unjust and not before the saints? It's saying if you have a problem you in church and you've got a problem with somebody and you know they do you wrong, they should come before the church and say, hey, this guy rejected me. He beat me out. It said, don't go suing him at the law. Go before the saints. Let them judge it. The Lord set that up. He says, do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? Hey, folks, you're supposed to judge some things in your life. You're supposed, as a saint of God, you're supposed to judge things in your life. He said, well, judge not lest you be judged. You're supposed to judge yourself first. You're supposed to judge sin in your life. Is that wrong? Yes, that's wrong. I don't need to do that. God forgive me for that. You're supposed to judge stuff. The Bible says he that is spiritual judges all things. But the problem with most people that get spiritual, they start judging everybody else rather than their own self. They become pharisaical. They start, man, look at so-and-so, look at so-and-so, look at that, look at that. And they start pointing their finger at everybody when they ought to be judging themselves, take care of themselves. That should keep you busy. Judging your own self should keep you busy 24-7, amen? It does me. You know what? My job as a pastor is to lead the saints. Preach the truth. Try to help you to grow. Because that's a command. And you know what? We hear about cancer in our body. People getting cancer. This cancer having that cancer. And the Lord's trying to keep cancer out of the body of Christ. He's trying to keep schisms out. He's trying to keep any kind of disease out. Why? If you obey the word of God in a church, you can keep a lot of schisms out. We have people come in here and they believe all kinds of crazy stuff. They believe in praying to saints. You don't pray to saints. Bible tells you not to. A guy came in here, he was a Calvinist. And I don't know if y'all know what a Calvinist is, but this guy came in, he wanted to teach, and he's a Calvinist. So no, we're not, we don't go that way. Because the Bible says, for God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We're not Calvinists. Take your Bible, look on down. It says, do not ye know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? Good Lord, man. You're going to judge angels. So what angels are you going to judge? You're going to judge fallen angels that follow Satan. You know what you are? You're replacements. There are a third of the angels follow Satan. So what are you? You're replacements. But you're a part of the body of Christ. Look on down. It says, know ye not that ye should judge the angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgment of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are at least esteemed in church. I speak to your shame. For if so, that there is not a wise man among you, no, not one, that shall be able to judge between his brethren. Brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. And look on down. Verse 8, he says, nay, ye do wrong, defraud that your brethren. He says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, adulterers, or effeminate, or abusers of themselves of mankind, or thieves, or covetous, nor drunkards, or revilers, or extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. So it's saying, you used to be that way. It shouldn't be that way no more. You should be a changed person. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. He says, such were some of you, but you are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, but not all things are expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. I'll be not brought under the power of any. I'll not be brought under the power of any. Anything that controls your life other than God. Now, I like coffee, and I like to have coffee in the morning. But have you ever gone a morning with no coffee? When you're fasting, your body starts going, your body starts jerking and everything, going crazy. Your body says, give me coffee. Give me. Sometimes you got to make your body suffer for it. But I'm not going to do it tomorrow. But it's saying, don't be brought under the power of any. We got people get saved, and they say, man, these drugs are hard. God says, I can deliver you from it. I can give you power, overcome it. It says, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But it says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengtheneth me. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengtheneth me. I mean, the Lord, when it comes to individuals. Now, this is a local assembly. Take your Bible, look with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. A church. Talking about the church. God's given the church gifts. He gives gifts to the church. But see, you're sitting in here. If you're saved, we're a part of each other. We're a part of each other. Saved people. Now that's, I'm part of all the Christians, the people that are saved out there in the world, they're my brothers in Christ. There's something about it. I was sitting talking to this guy the other day. I knew the guy was saved just by talking to him. Just knew it. I mean, I felt in him that the guy was saved. I mean, there's just something about it. You know, it's like a long lost brother or a long lost sister. But some people, they can be a brother and sister in Christ. God brings them in your way to show them, maybe to help them, to enlighten them. Because some people, like you find in the book of Acts, Priscilla and Aquila, they didn't know a lot of things. And Paul and the apostles, they explained things to them and they enlightened them through the scripture. And the church is, when the early church started, you said, when did the church start? Well, in Acts chapter 2, you find Peter preaching to to the Jewish people from all over the world. When you read Acts 2, when they spoke in tongues and all that, there were people there from all over the world that were Jews. And the Bible says that day 3,000 was added to the church. Now the church, it says it was added to the church, so there had to be a church started way back, further back. Somewhere in the book of John, where after Jesus Christ was crucified and he shed his blood, he tells Peter before he was crucified, he said, Peter, when you're converted, strengthen the brethren. So after Jesus Christ was crucified, sometime after that, the church was established. Maybe they didn't understand what the church was. So when you read the book of Acts, you'll find Peter, James, John, and all the rest of them, I mean, they're establishing churches. And Paul the Apostle established Gentile churches. And you read Acts chapter 15, you'll find that they give requirements for Gentile churches. Acts 15. It's very simple. There's a requirement that they said, this is what you got to do. But the Jews, they had, you know, they had requirements, and that's when Acts chapter 2, they were preaching, and they had to be baptized in Jesus' name. You don't have to be baptized in Jesus' name. You get baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, go ye in all the world, preach the gospel. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, after they believe. Name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's another doctrine. So there's some churches that still teach that you have to be baptized in Jesus' name. No, it's you got to be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, in three in one. So when you understand the church and you understand there's a church of a local body, which is Faith Baptist Church, and then there's a church of believers, there's millions of believers. They're in China. They're in Afghanistan. They're very few, but they're all over the world. There's people that was in the book of Acts being persecuted by the Jewish people being killed. They were church. They were believers. The church started out like wildfire. I mean, the more they killed them, the more they tortured them, the more they were at it. Here we are now. We're near the end of the church age. It's called the church age. We're near the end of it. And the church age is going in apostasy. You find that, you read Revelation chapter 2, chapter 3, you find there's seven churches in the book of Revelation, and the last church is going in apostasy. That's where we're at. We're in the last church age, and the churches are going along, just like when Moses come down the mountain, they're down there dancing, drinking, carrying on, doing all kinds of crazy stuff. They were a mixed multitude. And Moses had to get them straightened out about the law. He had to straighten them out about assembly, everything. He had to do all that. And Moses was their pastor. But he had millions. You talking about pulling your hair out. Take your Bible, look in 1 Corinthians 12. And let's read this. Let's read this chapter. I want you to see this. See, this is important. I wish somebody would have pointed this out to me a long time ago when I first got saved. And I could understand what was going on. Most Christians come to church, they say, well, you can go to church and you don't have to go to church. I mean, if you miss church, that doesn't mean you're going to go to hell. But like I said, if you say I'm a Christian and you don't go to church, then you're a liar. A Christian is somebody trying to follow Christ. Somebody wanting to read the Word of God. Somebody wants the assembly. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, and it says, forsaking not the, no, chapter 10, it says, forsaking not the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. What day is that? The day of Jesus Christ coming back. So we're supposed to get together more when we have revival. That's why we have revival. Trying to encourage people to get saved, get people fired up about reading their Bible, about living for God, about going after other people. What happens is most people get saved. All they care about is themselves. They don't care about nobody else until they start growing. When you start growing, you start saying, hey, what about my mom? What about my dad? What about my children? I know after I got saved, I wanted to see my family saved. But then I was messing up, drinking and carrying on, fighting all that stupid stuff. And then I brought shame upon the name of Jesus Christ. I brought shame, and my father would laugh at me and say, Christian, my foot. That's what they'll say to you. You say, I'm saved. I'm a Christian. Oh, yeah? Why are you still drinking for? They'll say that. You say, well, you know what they'll do? On the job site, they'll mess with you. I've worked with a bunch of roofers. They say, hey, man, hey, how about going down and get us the package store, get us something this and get this? I said, I ain't going to do that. And they say, what's the matter, you hypocrite? I mean, you self-righteous. And then if you drank with them, they'll say, oh, yeah, we got that sucker. He says he's saved. Look at him. He's just like us. They just want to mock you. Look at this, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's talking about you're part of the body of Christ. You're a member of the body, and you're part of Jesus Christ's body, the church. Look at this. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have written have you ignorant. He doesn't want you to be ignorant. You got everybody in this room's got some kind of spiritual gift. You got a gift God's given you. Some people got a gift of gab. Some people got a gift of friendship, of talking to people, encouraging people. You got a gift to encourage other brothers, praying. And look at this. You know that you were Gentiles carried away with these dumb idols, even as you were led. People worshiped all kinds of stupid things. Wherefore I give unto you understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministrations, but the same Lord. So there's God's got you in a place where he can use you, and he wants you to grow. In that place, God wants you to grow. I worked for some Christian businessmen. They were crooks. And I told them so. They were crooks. Not because they ripped me off. They ripped everybody else off. And they say they're Christians. You're not supposed to do that. It says, there are differences of ministrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operation, but if the same God which worketh in all worketh in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. God wants you to profit. He wants you to profit spiritually. It says, to one is given the Spirit of word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge and the same by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit. It says, to another the gift of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles. And those apostles had that. And I've seen God do some miracles in my life. And I mean, not, it wasn't me slapping people down and sending them $50. They send $50 and all that stupid stuff. That's just a bunch of con men on TV you watch. Says, to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits, to another, divers kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. Tongues is a language. Get that in your head. Tongues is a language. So in Acts chapter 2, when they preached the word of God, every man heard them speaking their own language. You got the charismatics coming in and saying, oh, you got to speak in tongues to be saved. And you say, what is it? They go, I saw it. They act like a bunch of animals sitting around. And then somebody stand up and try to interpret it. And they say the same thing all the time. It's the same thing. And that's not true tongues in the Bible. That's from the devil itself. Tongues is somebody coming in here, say if somebody came in here and I said, Brother Dan, why don't you stand up and give us a verse in German? And he stood up and gave us a verse in German or started talking to us in German if he was a German. And somebody else would have to stand up and interpret what he said. That's tongues and the interpretation of it. And if somebody else couldn't get the interpretation, he would. So they got these churches trying to say, oh, we got the gift of tongues, and we're speaking in tongues. They don't know what they're talking about. They're messed up. When it comes to doctrine, they're messed up. Look here. You say, do you believe there are tongues in the Bible? Yes, I do. There was a miracle. You don't find that going on today where a guy stands up at the United Nations and he stands up and starts preaching to somebody and everybody there heard him speaking his own language. That'd be wild. That's real tongues. Look at here. To another faith, but down to verse 11. But all these worketh the one and same selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man several as he will. It says, as the body is one, check this out, mark this in your Bible, as the body is one and hath many members, all right? You got fingers, you got toes, you got feet, you got legs, you got arms, you got chest. I mean, you got a head, you got ears, eyes. The body is many members, got many members. If I cut off my hand, I'm still a body. Look here. For as the body, that's the same with the body of Christ. For as the body is one and have many members, and all the members that of one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Is that water? No. That's a washed in the blood. By one Spirit are we all baptized. You're baptized by the Holy Ghost. When you got saved, when you ask Jesus Christ to forgive you and save you, Romans chapter 8, it says, he that hath not the Spirit of Christ is none of his. When you got saved, you asked Jesus Christ to save you, the Spirit of God came into you, and he made you a part of the body. He baptized you into the body by the blood. It's not water. You don't see no water in the whole passage. It's a spiritual baptism. Look at here. For the body is one member, but the body is one member, but many. Look at verse 14. Look at 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized in one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, if there's a slave man or a free man, and have been all made to drink on the one Spirit. Look at verse 15. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? The foot's still part of the body. He says, if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I'm not the body, it is therefore not the body. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now have God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it have pleased him. So God says, you're going to be a part of the body, and I'll place you where you're pleasing to me. This day and time, a lot of the members that are saved, the Lord places them in the body. They're boogers. Because why? They're good for nothing. Members of the body, good for nothing. What part, you say, what part of the body am I in? I don't know. Whatever God pleases to put you. Now, you know, I said, well, I'd like to be the hand. I'd like to be the pointing finger. What about the fingernail? The body has many members. We're part of the body. Look what it says. He says, but now have God set the members, every one of them, in the body as he hath pleased him? If they were all one member, where would the body? He said, but now are ye many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of thee. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seemeth be more feeble are necessary. There's parts of our body that we don't want to show, and they're kind of, you know, they're feeble, and God says they're necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part which lacketh. He says that there should be no schisms. See that? The Lord doesn't want any kind of schisms in his body. He doesn't want any kind of disease. He doesn't want any kind of cancer. I'm talking about in the body of Christ. It'd be a terrible thing. I mean, you got churches today claim to be churches. They don't believe anything. They don't preach anything, Harley. But they got a rock band, strobe lights, smoke. They dance around, and they don't preach the Bible. They don't even tell nobody how to get saved. And they claim to be a church. And they're not preaching any Bible. They tell them, well, let's praise Jesus. Let's talk about Jesus. But if you don't know who he is, I've had people come to me and say, I'm perfect. They're homosexuals and they're lesbians and everything. And they go to this church and they say, we're happy with our church. And they go into church the way they came and they leave the same way they came. With no conviction. When you come into the church, God says, I don't want no disease in it. I don't want no schisms in it. You need to get right with about sin in your life. That's why God chose the foolishness of preaching. Why? Preach sin. Preach schisms out. Like a doctor would give you the medication to get rid of it. My grandson just coming home from the hospital. He had a hard time breathing. He had a problem with his lungs. The doctor diagnosed it, took care of it. And what happens is when you get under the sound of preaching, Dr. Jesus, through the Holy Ghost, will diagnose what your problem is. You're sitting there, you go, oh God, help me, Lord. Help me get that out of my life. Help me clean that thing up. Help me not to shame you. Schisms. You know why a lot of people don't come back to church here? They'll walk in, they'll hear preaching, and they'll get under conviction, and they'll go, man, I don't like feeling like that. I tell you, if you don't like feeling like that, get it right. You get things right, then you come back to church and you go, woo, glory, I got to mend the schisms out.
Amen.
I got it out. Man, I had something in my eye the other day, man. Man, what a blessing when you get the thing out. Dirt in my eye, I couldn't get it out. Man, now you're talking about something bothers you. We're part of the body of Christ. And you know what happens? You got people that go out and get in sin. And what happens is you get a bunch of other members will stand up for that people in sin. And they'll say, well, I don't want to judge. I'm not saying judge them. They're supposed to judge themselves. But preaching is to do that. And people say, I want to go to church where they don't judge me. They don't judge me. Nobody's judging you here. Just preaching. And what happens is you get under conviction. So when you preach against sin, you say, well, you're judging me. No, I'm trying to help you get the schism out. Amen. So you can walk with God.
Amen.
You got a disease, man. Got to get it out. Tell you, look on down. Look what it says. He says, we're all, verse 19, we're all one member, where were the body? But now are ye many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say on so on down. Look on down to verse 23. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, they don't know their Bible like they should, they don't pray like they should and all that stuff, these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacketh. When I first got saved and I was going to church, man, I was sitting in a big old church of 2,500 people, and I was the least decent person in the church. I looked around at everybody. I thought, man, these are saints. All these saints in here. And God had to work on me to get sin out of my life. It took a long time. I couldn't read. It took a long time. I know what I'm talking about. I mean, the preacher and preaching, but people treated me just the same as a brother in Christ. And then what happened was I had some other brothers in Christ. They knew I was weak. They knew I had schism in me, that I didn't know no Bible. I couldn't read. So they took me under their wing and they helped me because I wanted help. Amen. You can't help somebody that won't help. And they helped me. John Garner's daddy, he helped me get my life, my physical life, my license, everything straightened out. I mean, paid fines for me. He took me under his wing, prayed for me, and brought me to the house, fed me, read the Bible to me, and helped me. And when I went to Bible school, these men helped me. Why? They wanted me to get the schisms out. They had their own schisms, but mine was very evident. Man, I was open book. I was still cussing and messing up, and for about a year I was up and down. Man, I finally said, I'm tired of this mess. I'm getting this junk out of my life. Lord, I don't want to use your name in vain no more. I don't want to curse no more. I don't want to do this stuff no more. I don't want to go to the bars no more. I don't want that stuff no more. Why? I want to be pleasing to him. Look at here. He says, verse 27, now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Look at verse 25. That there should be no schisms in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. If you see a brother that's weak and got some schisms in him, you think, oh man, he's still cussing, he's still drinking. So try to encourage him. Don't do that, man. I mean, you know, God dealt with me about that stuff. And you encourage him. Show them scripture. I had long hair. The Bible says it's a shame for a man to have long hair. I had long hair, man. And I'll never forget, the preacher preaching on hair, I got mad. So who is he telling me about my hair? And then a brother said, hey, man, don't get upset, man. Look what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians. Look here. It says, it's a shame for a man to have long hair. I went, Bible say that? Yeah, the Bible says that. Well, I want to please him. I got my hair cut. See, it's a growing process. And if you want to grow, that's why I started going to church Sunday morning, Sunday night. I wanted more. Some Christians, they said, a little dab of do you, that's all I want. Just enough to get me by. Just enough. I started going to church. I wanted to learn. I wanted to know. So look here. It says, God has set some in the church. First, apostles. That's where the miracles and stuff. He says, secondly, prophets. Third, teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities, tongues. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Have all the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. But covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet show I unto you a more excellent way. So the church is a body of believers. Take your Bible, look in Ephesians 4. I'm trying to hurt. Y'all getting anything from this? Y'all getting it? Can you say amen to that? All right, I want you to understand. I want to try to make as clear as I possibly can so you can understand. You shouldn't want no schisms in your body. I mean, if you woke up tomorrow morning and you side of your face swelled up or your chest had pains, you would go to the doctor. You know what's like coming here? It's like hearing it before it even happens. Or if you got it in your life, is to help you get it out by preaching and studying the Word of God. And that's what God set pastors up for, to preach the Word of God, to get the schisms out. You know why Paul's writing that to Corinthians, to the Corinthian church? Because why? They had a bunch of schisms in there. They had a guy in there, you read your Bible, they had a guy in there messing around with his father's wife. That means his stepmother. He was messing around with his stepmother. And Paul said, put him out. He won't get right, get rid of him. Why? He's going to infect everybody around him. You know what they said about this coronavirus? They are isolating people. They're putting them in a place of isolation. Why? So they don't affect nobody else. And what happens is, if you got people in the church that's openly in sin, and they're bragging about it, and they get in there and say, well, I'm out there doing this, I'm saved. You know what they're doing? They're infecting other people.
Yep. Amen.
And they bring schisms.
Yep.
And infection in the body.
Amen.
It says that's why it's to get, that's why preaching is to get that stuff out. And what happens is, a lot of times, we've had people sitting in here, and we knew they were doing this stuff. And they were just as bold about it, cocky about it. You better look out, man. Because then you don't get things right, God will do something. I've seen the Lord do it. I've seen God bring judgment on people because they won't get it. They heard it, and they refused to do right. They refused to get it right. And God says, okay, here's your last chance. You want to bring infection in the church? Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Look at this. Look at verse 1. I'm telling you, man, this is the real deal, holy field. I'm telling you, it's on. This is a real deal. God showed me this. He said, boy, you need to preach this. And we've preached it through the years, but I needed to do it again. Look what it says. He said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, Paul writing, I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. God's given everybody a vocation. He said, walk worthy of it. You're called. He says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You're supposed to, when you come into church, you should be a unity. We're all trying to worship God. We're trying to praise the Lord. You got other people come in, but you're trying to be unified to give God praise in this local assembly. He says, therefore, there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. He said, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And on every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended is what is it but that he also descended first in the lower parts of the earth? You need to mark that in your Bible. I could comment on that. Jesus Christ went to hell for you and I. He went in the lower parts of the earth, and he led captivity captive. That's talking about the Old Testament saints. And he that ascended is the same also that descended far above all heaven, that he might be fill all things. He gave some apostles, there it is again, some prophets, some evangelists. Now we got evangelists in there. He says, and some pastors, now we got pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the what? To perfect you. To make you better. You know what they, you know what that is? That's a physical therapist. Is trying to get perfect you to get better. Spiritually, that is. My wife went through a therapist, physical therapist. Why? To get her motion moving from after operation. And she had to go through this therapist. And what is, when you come to church, you're exercising, you're getting therapy. You're not going to a shrink. You're not going paying $150, $200 to a shrink to try to get, you know, past your problem. You deal with it, and you get it right, and go to God with it. You got a problem, you go to God. You don't go to the world. You don't go to a psychiatrist. You go to God. You don't go to the pills. You go to God. Does that make sense?
Amen.
Say amen if that makes sense.
Amen.
Look here. It says, verse 8 of chapter 4, we got to stop. It says, or actually go to 12, for perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of stature of the fullness of Christ. My job is to get this local body, this part of the body, say we're the hand. Say we're part of the hand. My job is to make sure this hand, if this local assembly is the hand, my job is to get the hand in perfect working order. And the hand would be in shape. When the Lord needs the hand, it's there. It's working. Fingers are not broke. Not something up under your fingernails. Say if we are the hand. We might be the thumbnail. We might, as a local assembly. My job is to get you the best it can be.
Yep. Amen.
Look here. Man, time is going by so fast, I can't get to everything. We got so much. I'll tell you what, we're going to have to stop right there. It's time to go by. We'll get into this next week. Y'all get anything from that?
Yes.
If you're here today and you're not saved, you're not in the body.